Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler. I'm here with my friend Mark Martin. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing fine, Rick. Are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Let's start with a word of prayer, shall we?
Sure.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of life, of health, that we can meet here this evening and talk about your plan of salvation, not only from the New Testament, but we can learn some things from the Old Testament also. Father, the entire book of the Bible was written so that you could communicate with us. It's your word to us, and we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Rick, last week we talked a little bit about Daniel, didn't we?
We did.
And I think we're going to continue that this week. There was so much information that we could have covered, but we just didn't have enough time.
We didn't have enough time. So it's good that we can continue the program this week.
It is. One of the things that I want to do, though, before we get started, because I have a tendency, once we get going, it's hard for me to stop in the middle of the program. But we want to thank New Visions Radio.
Absolutely.
They've given us the opportunity to do this. And we also want to invite you to go to newvisionsradio.com. That's probably where you're listening to this program. And click on the shows link, and you'll find a page there for Prophecies of Hope. It tells you a little bit about us. You'll get to see a picture of how good-looking Rick is and how I have a face for radio. And the other thing is all of our shows are being archived. All of our programs are being archived.
Yeah, that's right. That's exciting.
It is. So if you miss one or if you've missed others, you can go there and listen at any time. Again, thanks to New Visions Radio for putting this on the air. And we want you to visit our website as well, prophecyhope.com. You can email us. You can email your prayer requests. You can email any questions that you have. And if they want to email you, Rick, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Okay. And you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. We're adding newsletters. You'll be able to click on those and read some of the things that we're doing, some of the things that will be coming up that our ministry is doing locally here in Virginia. And we want to remind you that the program is being broadcast on Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock Pacific time, if you want to hear it when it's actually airing. And that's 11 o'clock Eastern time every Thursday. If you miss it, you can listen to the archive program. So back to Daniel chapter 2. Let's continue where we were last week. Can we do a brief review?
Daniel chapter 2. We talked about this great king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. Probably a lot of people have heard that name. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly common name that's pushed around biblical circles and people that have a little Bible knowledge.
Right.
Very powerful king. The king of Babylon.
That was a tremendous empire, as we talked last week.
Yes, tremendous empire. And the king had a dream. And he woke up in the morning and he couldn't remember his dream. So he told all of his so-called wise men, and it actually uses the words magicians and astrologers, sorcerers, in the text there in Daniel 2, verse 2. Mm-hmm. He called them all together and said, I want you to tell me what my dream was and then give me the interpretation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine such a thing? Mark, what if your wife woke up in the morning and said, I had a dream, but I can't remember it. Mark, can you tell me what my dream was?
No way.
No way.
I can't tell her what she's thinking when she's awake.
Yeah, that's true. So the king puts it to him. He says, look, if you don't tell me my dream and the interpretation, I'm going to kill every wise man, magician, astrologer, and sorcerer in my kingdom. Put them all to death. Hmm.
So as we learned last week, what they were trying to do, where they were trying to coerce the king to tell them something about the dream.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't remember it.
Right.
Basically. That's what he was saying.
And I believe that was God's providence in doing that, taking the memory of, he knew he had an important dream, but he just couldn't remember the details.
Right.
And I think that was done that way by God himself, because we find out later that God sent him this dream specifically.
Yes.
So in comes Daniel. Daniel is a young man, probably in his late teens.
Right.
He's a captive from, he's a Jewish captive mm-hmm. from Israel. He is considered one of the wise men of Babylon now. When they took captives back then, they incorporated these captives into their kingdom to right. help their kingdom.
And they try hard to indoctrinate them in their thinking in their schools.
Right. They even changed their names, right? Right,
as we found out.
So Daniel hears about this. In fact, the man that is coming to put Daniel to death, he says, Daniel tells him, bring me in front of the king. And so Daniel goes in front of the king, and to make a long story short, God reveals the dream to Daniel.
Yes.
And the interpretation. And it's truly miraculous.
It is. And then, so what happened there was Daniel ends up telling Nebuchadnezzar, he says, you are the king, of course, but after you, there's going to come another kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this kingdom is not as strong as yours. And each one of these, and this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream after Daniel told him what it was, there were metals. There was gold, silver, brass, and iron, and then feet of iron and clay. Remember that?
Yeah, it was an image that he saw, and each part of the image was a different metal.
Yes, and then Daniel tells him what those metals represent. We can see that later on also in chapter 7 of Daniel, which we're not going to go into. But we do know that those metals represent Babylon was the head of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Medo-Persia was the chest and arms of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Greece was the belly of brass or bronze.
That's right.
Some may even say copper. It depends on the translation.
Huh.
And the legs of iron were, we discovered, Rome.
Rome.
And this is secular knowledge. This isn't just biblical knowledge. People recognize this. Historians recognize these things. And then we had the feet that were iron and clay, and on those feet were 10 toes. Now, we didn't talk last week about those toes, but I think it's interesting that we should at least discuss what those toes were just for a moment. And those toes were, do you remember in our studies?
Well, my understanding is that when the Empire of Rome,
which was represented by the iron,
when right? it broke apart, and was no longer one collective empire, it broke apart into 10 different nations
yes.
or ethnicities, is what
sure.
we could say.
Absolutely. And those kingdoms were the Germans, the Swiss, the French, the Italians, the English, the Portuguese, the Spanish. And then there were three kingdoms that the Bible said would be uprooted by Rome, which that did happen. And they had technical names. They're now extinct. They were called the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths.
Mm.
Each of those kingdoms, like the Germans, were called the Alemanni, and the Swiss were called the Burgundian. The French were called the Franks. So they all had different names. The Italians were the Lombards. The English were the Saxons. We're familiar with that.
Yes, we are.
The Portuguese were the Suevi, and then the Spanish were the Visigoths. Now, these three kingdoms that were uprooted, do you know anything about them?
I don't know a lot about them. I do know that they didn't agree with all the doctrines of the church headed by Rome.
That's right.
They didn't agree with all those doctrines. And I believe, and I think secular history bears this out, they were put down by what remained of the Roman Empire.
That's right.
Because they wouldn't conform to what the Roman Church was teaching at that time.
Yes. Now, the reason that we thought this was important to bring up today is because the next chapter of Daniel has something very similar to this that happens prior to this.
Yeah, we're talking about religious liberty.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
We are.
And way back at this time, what time period would you say this is, Mark? Was it sometime
Daniel chapter 3?
Well, this time period where these three ethnicities were just wiped out.
Well, this would have been in the Middle Ages or Dark Ages, I guess we would call it.
Okay. Maybe the 300-400-500, something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it would have been after 300. It would have been after 300 AD, as we would call it.
Mm-hmm. And they were put down by the church at that time and right. wiped out by the church because they would not conform to what the church was teaching.
Yes, and we don't know a whole lot of information about it, but one thing that we do know is that one of the reasons that they were destroyed is because they would not accept the Roman church's understanding of who God was. They believed God was this co-equal, co-eternal God of three parts. And they said, no, we're sorry, but we believe there's one God and one Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. That's 1 Corinthians 8:6.
That's right out of the Bible.
So they had a different view of what we would call the Godhead.
Yes, that's correct. And we actually have done three programs on that earlier on, if you look mm-hmm. at that.
Yep, they're in the archives.
They are in the archives.
Go to the website, prophecyhope.com. You can find them there.
Yes, and you can listen to what the Bible actually teaches about the Father and about His Son, Jesus Christ, and about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting when we listen to the biblical perspective of that. Now, the other thing that I just wanted to touch on, and I think this is very important, and I get this question a lot, can Satan read our thoughts? And I think the story of Daniel proves that Satan cannot read our thoughts. He can read our actions, and he might even see a certain look on our face because he has studied us long enough that he might be able to tell what we're thinking by the way we're looking. You know, my wife can do that sometimes. She can look at my face and say, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Satan is a master. He's been around since way before when mankind was created 6,000 years ago. He was around, so he's studied man for a long time.
Mm.
And the reason I say that I don't believe that Satan can read our thoughts is because if he could have read Nebuchadnezzar's mind, don't you think he would have revealed that dream somehow?
Somehow, to some of these magicians or sorcerers, whatever they were.
Yeah.
He would have somehow done that so that the true God would not have gotten the credit.
That's right.
Because when this story takes place, Daniel gives all the credit to the one God of heaven. And in fact, Nebuchadnezzar does the same thing at the end of the story.
Yes, he does. Yes, he
which
does.
Which is amazing. This great king who believes in pagan gods or wood stone gods somehow comes around to the fact that there is one true God.
Amen. So we just want to make it clear, Daniel is not a mind reader. He prayed, and God revealed this dream to him.
That's right.
God is the revealer of secrets, and that's what it said there in Daniel.
It's all recorded in Daniel 2, and it's a tremendous story.
It really is.
It's a good read.
Yes. And one thing I wanted to make clear, too, and we touched on this in last week's program, Daniel 2, 44 and 45 was very important. Do you have that handy, Rick? Can you read
that? Yes, I do. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure thereof.
Okay, so we see that the stone, we know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church, isn't he?
He's the rock. That's right.
He is the rock. He is the foundation. And then we have, was cut out of the mountain without hands, which denotes that Jesus wasn't created.
No, he wasn't.
He was brought forth from the Father.
That's right.
He was cut out of the mountain, we could say.
Okay. He was brought forth.
He was brought forth.
Yes. That's why he's the Son of God.
Yes. And if we back up to verse 44, it says, and in the days of these kings, that's talking about, I believe, friends, this is talking about in a time very soon that this will take place.
We're right at the end of these last kings.
We are.
Yes.
You know, we've lived through this whole image of Daniel.
We have. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and now those 10 toes.
Those 10 kingdoms, yeah.
That's right.
And so I think I mentioned this in a sermon a year and a half ago. Somebody asked me after I gave the sermon on Daniel 2, they says, where are we in this image? Do you remember what my answer was?
I think you said, we're in the toenails.
We're in the toenails. That's as far as you can get. I mean, we are very close to this happening. It says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
That's right. Amen.
And we'll live forever in that kingdom.
That's right.
It's wonderful. Now, let's move along here to Daniel chapter 3, because this is so important, and this is why we kind of reviewed. Remember that Nebuchadnezzar was told that his kingdom was going to falter. Now, when you have a king that powerful, and you tell him that his kingdom is going down by someone inferior to him, even though he believed it, he praised the God of heaven.
I think he was so amazed that Daniel actually had the answers to his questions.
He was.
That God revealed to Daniel these answers. Because King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say anything about the interpretation. He doesn't come down on Daniel or curse God because of these things. He was very amazed.
He was impressed.
Yes.
My understanding is that the king, he doesn't want this to happen. He wants to thwart this prophecy if he can.
I'm sure after he gave it some thought, this is what comes next, is chapter 3, when he builds this image, but it doesn't have all these different metals.
Right.
It's made of gold, the whole thing.
Ah, see? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Solid gold, because he is the golden empire.
Yeah, that's right. And he wanted to remain in power forever if he could.
Let's read this. This is exciting. I really like this. So, do you want to read? You want to start off? Chapter 3, verse 1.
Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 3 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, Mark, I've got to ask you. We've done a little study on this
text, haven't we?
Now, it's 3 score. A score is 20.
Yes.
So 3 score would be 60.
60, that's right.
So it's 60 cubits high, mm-hmm. and the breadth thereof is 6 cubits, it says.
That's right.
But how deep was it?
Well, I learned a long time ago that in the Hebrew language, when it gives you something's height and its width, its depth is the same as the width. So if it's 60 cubits tall and it's 6 cubits wide, its depth is 6 cubits as well.
So the dimensions of this particular image that Nebuchadnezzar built thousands of years ago was 666.
60 by 6 by 6.
That's amazing. Of course, a lot of people know that there's some negative connotations with the number 666. So that's worth another study at some point.
It is. I think we should get back to that at some point. The other thing is that, you know, this image, as we're going to see, has to do with worship.
It does.
And the number 666 also has to do with a form of worship, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's from the book of Revelation. But let me continue reading here in verse 2.
Sure.
Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which the king had set up. Then all these princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, and he said, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship not it, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace."
Okay. Now, this sounds like the who's who list of the most important people in the world.
It really does.
And it was at that time.
Well, it takes pains to mention these things twice.
Yes.
All these people.
So this was a very important meeting according to King Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, yeah.
And just as a review, we're saying that all of these people were together, he cries out that when you hear this music playing, when you hear all of these instruments playing, and this is a dramatic thing, isn't it? He's building them up, kind of working them up in a frenzy. And he's saying, you're going to bow down and worship this image.
Not only what to worship, this image, but when to worship it.
Oh, that's very important. That's a very important thing. We'll get to that in another program, because that'll open up another can of worms. But this is really, really important here. So he wants them to bow down to this gold image, which gold represented Babylon. He wanted them to worship the image.
That's right.
Okay. Now, where do we pick up? Verse 7. It says, did you already read verse 7?
Nope. That's okay. The next verse, Mark. Go right ahead.
So the punishment was, if they didn't worship, they get thrown into the furnace. So at that time, reading in Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, and all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Now, we talked about these Jews that had come from, they were taken from Judea, right?
They were captives, that's right.
And they were brought out to Babylon.
And they were given important things to do in the government.
Yes, they were looked up to.
Yes.
Okay. And it says in verse 9, they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Any thoughts?
I would say praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah. They knew who their God was.
That's right.
They worshiped one God, Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick it up in verse 13?
Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
His tune has changed a little bit.
Yeah, he's asking them, is there any God that can deliver them out of my
hands? He doesn't think there is.
No, has he forgotten the God of Daniel?
He has a short memory, evidently.
It's only one chapter later.
Yeah.
Must have been a little time.
There was a little time. He had to build this image.
60 feet high.
Well, actually, it was 90 feet. It was 60 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Verse 16,
it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That's amazing.
It's pretty striking. This is the most powerful monarch of the entire world.
Yes.
At this time. And these three guys think they're going to stand up to him?
These teenage boys.
But I don't think Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that the power of the God of the universe is behind these three boys. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Wow. I guess, Mark, what does that mean?
I guess his expression on his face.
got red in the face. He was so mad.
He was furious.
The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was heated before. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot and the flame of the fire slew, it killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
This is saying they heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than it had ever been, than it normally is.
Yep.
And it was so hot that the men that threw them in were killed.
They didn't even go in the furnace and they were killed. These guards that were throwing
them in. That's amazing to me.
It is.
Okay.
And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." Verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God."
The men on the outside of the furnace were killed. These boys, it says, fell down when they went into the furnace, but then they're loose and walking around, and someone's in there with them, and it says he looks like the Son of God.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Who was that was in there with them?
I believe it was the Son of God.
I do too. I believe that's who it was.
I think it was Jesus himself that was there to be with them.
Yes.
Verse 26. Want to go ahead, Mark?
Sure. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them."
Amazing.
I have to stop here because I know there are people who read this account and say, "That's a fairy tale. That's just a story." But I want to remind the folks who are listening to this that last week's program, we talked about how Daniel foretold these kingdoms that would come before they existed. And even the most critical skeptics have had to admit that those things were foretold before those kingdoms came.
Truly amazing.
It is.
If God can foretell the kingdoms of the earth and know about those things well before they happen, surely he can keep these three men safe in the fiery furnace.
Amen.
And, you know, when God does something, he does it right.
Yes, he does.
And I even see a little sense of humor with the Most High God here, because he could have put a little smoke smell on them, you know.
Sure.
But his miracles are complete.
Yes, they are. So I find it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar went from what God can save you from me to you worshipers of the Most High God, come on out here.
Yeah, it is funny.
It is to me. So let's see. It says here, where do we leave off? Oh, verse 28, I believe it is. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God."
It's amazing.
That's wonderful.
Here they are in a foreign country. They've been taken captive, and here are all these other gods that these people are worshiping, and yet they're being true to the God of heaven, the only God.
Yes. In our Bible study not long ago, we had talked about how It seems like the worshipers of the true God always seem to compromise.
Yes.
But these young men didn't.
These young men didn't. It's amazing.
What an example for us.
It is. We can't let anything come between us and God.
Amen. So let's see what the last words of the chapter. It says, therefore, verse 29, this is the king speaking, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
It is an amazing story.
It is.
I know that most people who know a little bit about the Bible have heard this story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a testament to what God can do for us if we are faithful to Him.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I'd like to bring this around a little bit. How can a story like this, you know, I don't like to call it a story. I mean, it's a story, but it's a fact. This is something that actually happened. And friends, I'm not embarrassed to say that I believe that every word of this is true. I believe that the furnace was heated up 7 times hotter. I believe that the people that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in were killed. I believe that he saw the Son of God walking around in that furnace.
I believe it also, Mark.
And I believe that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke.
Yes.
And this may sound unbelievable to many people that are listening, but I urge you to look into some of these prophecies that are prior in Daniel chapter 2. Look into some of the things that were foretold that have happened in Daniel chapter 7. And it will bolster your faith that the Bible is the inspired word, that these things
absolutely
happen.
Yes. I want to go back in the text a little bit. You know, even before they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, our God is able to take care of us.
That's
He's
right.
able to save us. And even if God chose not to do that, they were still going to go through and serve their God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think that's tremendous faith.
It is.
You know, we are promised in the Bible what Adam and Eve lost, and that is eternal life.
Yes.
If we serve the Most High God, and that's Jehovah.
That's right.
And I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that they weren't worried so much about this earthly king that really could do anything he wanted to them. They weren't worried about him so much.
Right.
They would rather fear God, and what I mean by fear is respect God.
Sure.
And have him be the most important entity in their lives. Mm-hmm. Than to fear this earthly monarch.
Now, I would, I might be going out on a limb here, but I'd venture to say that these young men were probably nervous.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure they were scared to some degree, but they had faith in their Heavenly Father that even if He didn't save them at that moment, that He could bring them back if He wanted to.
The promise is eternal life.
That's it.
And that's living with God.
Amen.
And communing with God for eternity.
Yeah, we can. There are actually texts that say that. Let's take a look at one very briefly. Revelation,
mm-hmm.
I believe it's in chapter 21. Here's what it says. And this is in our future. Revelation chapter 21. It says in verse 1, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
That's a tremendous promise, isn't it?
It is. Just as I believe God was with Adam and Eve in the earth that was originally created to be a beautiful garden.
Beautiful paradise.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that strikes me about this story is this is religious persecution.
Yes, it is. Fill in the blanks there a little bit.
Well, here is this king that I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar worshipped all kinds of pagan gods.
Sure.
Gods made of wood, idols, stone, you know, all these types of things, golden idols.
The fact that he wanted the people to worship the golden image tells you that he didn't think there was anything wrong with
that. Yeah, you know, if he makes a law, he expects people to obey it.
Sure.
So here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that they're standing up for their principles. They want to worship the one true God, Jehovah.
Right.
And the religious persecution, they're gonna lose their lives if they don't worship this false God. Hmm. And that's striking to me. You know, most people know and understand that more people have lost their lives in the name of religion or false religion.
Right.
In the history of the world than from any other cause.
Yes.
Disease, famine, natural disasters, all put together. More people have been persecuted and put to death by, you know, all the religions of the world.
That's right.
And this is just an example of that.
Now, do you think this is going to happen again, something similar to what we see here with Daniel?
Actually, I think Jesus talked about this, that he said these very things would happen at some time in the future from when he was speaking to us when he was here on this earth.
Okay. Let's take a look at that. We can find that in one of the Gospels, isn't it?
We talked about John chapter 16.
Okay.
I believe.
Let's take a look.
Yep.
John 16, what verse?
I think it starts in verse 1, Mark, and this is Jesus speaking.
Okay.
He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, or out of the churches. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, you might remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you."
Those last five words, "because I was with you." Wasn't he with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
So let's break this down a little bit. He says, "These things I have spoken, that you should not be made to stumble." Now, you know, anything can make us stumble. Things can make us fall. Things can trip us up to where we wouldn't worship the true God.
Mm-hmm.
King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to make these three boys stumble.
That's right.
And the thing was, even when it was pointed out, when all of these powerful people turned the tables and pointed at them and said, "Look, they're not bowing. They're not bowing to your image," they stood firm. They would not stumble.
Wow, that was tremendous peer pressure when you think about it.
Yes, it was. And then it says, "They will put you out of the synagogues." Like you said, that's the church. In other words, Rick, are you telling me that we as Christians can be thrown out of our church for certain things?
Oh, I think it happens quite often in Christian denominations. If we don't believe exactly what this particular church teaches or that particular church teaches, that can happen. I think what Christ is talking about is really when people who want to serve the only true God and Him, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and want to do it truthfully to the best of their knowledge and ability, there's going to be persecution because of that. They're going to be put out of the churches. People don't want to hear the truth about what the scriptures say.
Yeah, that's almost painful to hear, but that is true. It says here, right in the same verse, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service."
Oh, we can look back in history and just see that, you know, something that immediately comes to my mind are the Crusades. Christians were putting non-believers to death because they didn't believe as the Christians thought they should.
Right. That's true. That's true. So this,
and it's not just Christianity that has happened with. It's been in the name of religion, millions, maybe even billions of people have died.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, we have to be honest. The Catholic Church has put to death over 100 million people.
You know, and they are honest about that.
They are. And they've apologized for that.
They've apologized for it. Can't bring those people back.
No.
But doesn't seem like a Christ-like thing.
No, and I think that the people today, I think the leadership of the Catholic Church today recognizes that that wasn't Christ-like to some degree.
I agree.
And that's why there's been a public apology about that. There's a lot of information about that. If you go to the Prophecies of Hope website and you look at the 2012 videos, it talks about that in video number 5, who is the Antichrist power. And it's very interesting because some of the things that we're talking about here with the 10 toes and the iron monarchy and those things are brought to light in that particular sermon.
They are explained very well, yes.
Now, the other thing about this verse, it says, and these things they will do to you in verse 3 of John chapter 16, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, we were talking earlier about how when Rome divided into 10, they had destroyed 3 kingdoms that understood the Father and the Son.
Yes, those 3 kingdoms evidently had some different understanding than what the Christian church was teaching at that time. And the Christian church, was the early days of the Roman Catholic Church, wiped these 3 ethnicities, these 3 kingdoms off the map because they would not conform to the doctrines that Rome was teaching. And it had everything to do with this Father and Son understanding.
Yes. And it could come down to that again, according to what Jesus is saying here.
That's what it seems like.
Now, I think that one of the things that we probably need to discuss is, as far as these things occurring, as far as being tested, as far as, you know, are these things something that you think would happen in our lifetime, Rick?
Well, Mark, I suppose it is possible. You know, here in this country, the United States, we do enjoy a tremendous amount of religious freedom.
We do.
You and I are sitting here doing a radio program. Essentially, we have the freedom of speech to say anything we want to say.
Sure.
We can say terrible things about our government, about any religion we want to.
Sure.
And that's a tremendous blessing.
It is, to be able to be honest, to have the freedom to do it. But it does appear that those freedoms are gradually being eroded away, even in the United States.
It does. It does appear that way.
And I think a big part of that is we have this thing called political correctness.
You know, there's an intolerance growing for people who want to speak out and speak the truth, speak biblical truth. And that's very disturbing.
It is. Where do you think that push is coming from?
Well, I'm, like I've said before, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
I don't believe there's a group of people somewhere sitting in some room coming up with some conspiracy and some way to put it forward.
That's right.
But, you know, the Bible speaks clearly that the sin in this world was brought in by this angel Lucifer, talked about in Isaiah 14.
Mm-hmm.
And if I believe in the God of heaven and his son Jesus and what the Bible says, there has to be what we call a devil or Satan.
Right.
Like it says in Revelation. And I think if there's any conspiracy going on, it's the devil and his evil angels that are behind it.
Yes, I would agree. Now, let's sum this up just a little bit. We've talked about these kingdoms that Daniel had interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, we said that that timeline took us from the days of Babylon, which was about 600 BC, all the way down to the coming of Christ.
That's right.
So those things haven't all been fulfilled yet.
Not quite. We're right there at the toenails, like we said.
Well, let's take a look very quickly at Matthew 24 and see what we can expect in the very last days.
That sounds good.
Matthew chapter 24, and just so we know what's going on here, Jesus had sat down with his disciples, and they were at the Mount of Olives, and they came up to him, and they asked him a question. They asked him a question. They said, and this is Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Remember, Rick, we talked about Daniel 2, 44 and 45, that talked about the kingdom that would be brought in and all of these other kingdoms be destroyed.
That's right.
This is what they're asking about.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know when that's going to happen.
They knew the Old Testament very well. Those were the scriptures that they had in Christ's day.
Yes. So we take a look here. It says, and Jesus answered and said, this is verse 4 of Matthew chapter 24. He says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Mm.
For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Does that sound familiar?
Wow. It sounds like we're living right in those times.
It does. It goes on. Verse 9, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. We just read that, didn't we?
We did. We just read that in John 16.
And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Jesus is saying that people will hate us because we profess his name.
That's amazing.
It is. And we can see that does happen today.
It does.
There are groups who hate Christians.
Absolutely.
Now, can you continue there in verse 10?
Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that will endure unto the end shall be saved.
So we have to have endurance.
We do.
You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had endurance.
Yes, they did. In the face of their very lives being threatened.
Yes.
They endured.
Okay, and I love this next verse. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
You know, that's an interesting text because most of the people around the world understand what Christianity is all about.
I would say that's true.
That God sent his son to recover a dying world.
Yes. Whether you profess Christianity or not, you've heard the story.
That's right.
Typically.
So these, almost everyone has been preached to.
That's right. And I think we're getting very, very close to this. Now, the other thing that I find interesting in the very next verse, look at what Jesus does. He says, therefore, when you see, this is verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who?
Daniel the prophet.
Daniel the prophet, standing in a holy place. That's from Daniel 9:27 is what he's quoting there.
That's right.
It says, whoever reads, let him understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on his housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment because people are saying, wait a minute, this is talking about Judea. We're in the United States of America. But we have to remember that many things in the Bible, there are prophecies that have more than one meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking not only about when Jerusalem would be sacked in 70 AD, which happened after he talked to his disciples. But he's also talking about the end of the world when he returns.
That's right.
And we know that because of what it says in the next following verses. Let's see. Let's continue in verse... Let's see, where were we?
19. You read 18.
I read 18. Okay. But woe to those who are pregnant and those nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we know that's still future.
It has to be. Some terrible things happened there in Jerusalem in the year 70.
Yes.
But nothing like what is described here in verse 21.
Right. What's verse 22? Can you continue there?
And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, look, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, he is in the desert, go not forth. Or behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Hmm.
That's amazing. You can see lightning for many, many miles away. That's what it's talking about.
It is. This is talking about the literal, physical, visible coming of Christ.
That's right.
And that he's coming in the clouds.
That's right.
Now, what is the key to this text, Rick? Because I've had people ask me, and I know you've heard this question, well, if the elect can be deceived, then how can I not be deceived? How can I be sure not to be deceived when this happens?
Well, the key to this text is to realize that everyone is going to be aware of Christ's second coming.
Okay.
It's saying, as it shines from the east to the west, those lightning is just shocking. That's the way it's going to be. We're not going to find Christ in the desert or in the secret place or here or there on the earth. He's going to be coming in the clouds of heaven.
So what you're saying is that, in other words, Jesus isn't going to be on the earth at this time. He's going to be in the sky.
That's right. And everyone's going to know it.
Because that goes right along with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we've read numerous times on this program.
That's
where
right.
It talks about the dead in Christ rising first, and then we who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. Right?
That's right.
So that's 1 Thessalonians 4:16, if you want to look that up. So this is very interesting. So one way we cannot be deceived, because he says, be careful, because there are going to be people doing miracles. There's going to be false Christs. People are going to be doing things that seem like only the Son of God could do.
Yeah, false Christ, but false prophets also.
Yes.
People that don't claim to be Christ, but are doing miraculous things so that they can drag people down with them.
That's it. So the way that we're not deceived, friends, is when they say that Jesus is on the earth, if anybody is on the earth today proclaiming to be the Messiah, he is a false Christ.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And we know that our Lord Jesus comes in the clouds, and we will be caught up to meet him. We will be changed in an instant, according to 1 Corinthians 15.
Verse 29 here. Well, verse 30. And then shall the sign appear, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
In heaven, yeah.
Yeah, that. And the end of the verse says, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
So there's our explanation.
It is.
That's how we're not deceived.
That's how we're not deceived. That's right.
Okay. Well, I tell you, Rick, this was a tremendous study, and I hope that we brought this back around. You know, we talk about these things quite often, about the hope that we have, about the hope of living for an eternity, about the hope of the earth being transformed back into the paradise that Adam and Eve had.
Amen.
And we know that that's a future time, but I tell you, I'm so excited about the things that are transpiring in the world today, because we're seeing the prophecies that Jesus was talking about right here unfolding almost daily.
We're seeing those signs daily. You're correct, Mark.
Yeah. So I tell you, why don't we, we'll wrap this up by inviting everybody to come and visit the Prophecy Hope website, www.prophecyhope.com. You can email Rick at rick@prophecyhope.com, or you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And did you have any concluding comments, Rick?
Mark, it's been a tremendous program today. I hope that each one of our listeners have been blessed. And feel free to send in comments or questions. We'd be happy to respond to you either on the air or personally.
Sure.
Through an email.
Yeah, and if you want, confidentiality is very important. We're not going to tell anybody who you are unless you want them to know who you are. And the other thing is, be sure to send in your prayer requests, because the Prophecies of Hope team does get together on a regular basis, and we do pray for people on a regular basis.
Absolutely, we do.
So let's close with a word of prayer now, shall we?
Okay.
Our Father in Heaven, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible, that it is sure, that it is true, and that it is inspired by you, the Most High. Father, we thank you for the facts, for the things that we see that have happened in Daniel's day, the fact that he foretold these kingdoms because you gave him the answers. You foretold those kingdoms coming before they even happened, and you used a young man like Daniel to spread that truth. Father, we pray that those who have heard these words, that they will be encouraged by them, that they will share these thoughts with others, that we can hasten the coming of your Son Jesus. Father, we look forward to that day. It's going to be a glorious day. So please, please be with everyone who's listening to this program. Bless us until we come together again. We thank you for all things that you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Rick, I thank you for being with me again today.
It's been a pleasure, Mark.
It has. So, friends, we want to sign off by saying, as we always do, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.